Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings. I've read this chapter over and over and over and prayed, and I just believe the Lord has something in it for us today. I'm going to let you stay seated for the reading because the reading is lengthy. But I want you to think about what's going on in the chapter. I'm preaching today on victory in the valley. The Bible talks about a plain here in chapter number 20, contrasts it to the hills. And I hope and pray that God will speak to our hearts and help us in this hour. The Bible said in verse 1, "And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all of his hosts together. There were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots, and he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, the king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also, and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine, and all that I have. And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants. And it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away." I have a hard time comprehending this. Ahab has already agreed to give the gold and the silver and the children, the wives. And he said, we're going to just go through the house and basically we're going to take everything that's worth anything. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he said unto me, For my wives and for my children, for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. Now, I don't understand that. I'm going to tell you something. You get my wife and you get my children, you're going to have to fight. You're probably going to have to kill me, Brother Larry. Amen. I don't understand the lot that's going on here. But there's a truth in this text that's jumped out at me. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, Tell my lord the king, all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first will I do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, The gods do so unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that followeth me. And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, Let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. And it came to pass, when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilion, and he said unto his servants, Set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, the king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Watch this. Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. There's so many things going on in my heart right now. I'm trying to make an order out of this. Think about that. Think about how wicked Ahab was. And yet God is going to work on his behalf. You say, Pastor, Why does that speak to your heart? Because I think about how wicked I was. And yet God worked on my behalf. And can I say this? He was working when I didn't even know He was working. Watch this. And Ahab said, by whom? And he said, thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the prince, princes of the provinces, they were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. You heard that number somewhere before? You remember how many God told Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal? And they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions. He and the kings and the 32 kings that helped him. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, there are men come out of Samaria. And he said, whether they be come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city, the army which followed them. And they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and the chariots and the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, please take notice of this verse. The Bible said the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away and every man out of his place and the captain in their rooms, and number thee an army like the army thou hast lost, horse for horse, chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids, but the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel, please pay careful attention to this verse, and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Can I stop and say something? My God is God of the hills, and he's God of the valleys. God is going to grant a great victory to the children of Israel and Ahab in this plain or this valley, if you please. I don't know about you, but since this mess has started, it's been one of the longest valleys of my life. I don't know if you understand how much I love being with God's people and seeing God's people and fellowshipping with God's people. And it's been a great hindrance. But I want to tell you something. God has spoke to my heart. He has a purpose in this valley. We don't come to any valley but what God doesn't have a purpose in that valley. And God wants to give this pastor and his people victory in this valley. It's an unlikely valley. Who would have ever thought? Amen. It's an uninvited valley. We didn't invite it. It's an unpredictable valley. Every time we think we're going to climb out, we find ourselves right back down in that valley. I hope God will speak to our hearts today, this Lord's Day. The Syrian said, the Lord is God of the hills and He is not God of the valleys. You know what's going on today? Many of God's people, they may not be saying it with their mouth, but they're thinking it in their heart. God, where are you? Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand. And again the word of God said, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know what I believe God would like for America to know? That He is the Lord. You know what I believe God would like for all the nations of the world to know? That He is the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for the privilege, our Lord, to be in the house of God. Lord, this morning I pray that You would clothe Thy servant in His calling. God, I understand and realize fully this could be the last time I'd ever stand behind this pulpit. Lord, I may. Lord, I may plan for another day. But God, only You know whether we have another day or another breath. So I pray, God, that if this would be that hour, God, that You would come or that You would take us home. God, that we would give You our best. God, that our people would listen with their spiritual ears. God, that You'd give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us today. Help us, we do pray. Give us victory in the valley. And God will give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 137 verses in the Word of God mention valleys. They're there. I say to you today that God mentions past valleys in the Scripture. Isaac's servants digged in the valley and they fell there, found there a well of springing water. Can I tell you God's got a well even in the valley? Numbers, they went up to the valley of Eshel. You remember that where the grapes of Eshel grow, where God was wanting them to go into the promised land. They discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land that God had given them. It was a valley where that decision was made. Many are in the valley of decision today. And Joshua and all Israel took him. Here's a valley of Achan's own making, the valley of Achor, where the judgment of God was passed upon a man for disobeying the God of heaven, for taking the Babylonian garment and the gold and the silver and burying it in his tent. There was a valley where God, you remember there was a mountain over here and the Philistines, a mountain over here and the children of Israel, and in the valley there was Goliath. It was in a valley that God gave His man a great victory over the giant that day. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and they pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. There was a valley between them. The book of Ezekiel speaks of a valley of dry bones. I'm just telling you, beloved, there's past valleys. You can look in the Word of God. Over and over and over, God describes the valleys. There's present valleys. My phone just, every little bit, text, call. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime. People are hurting. People are suffering. There are valleys that are physical. There are valleys that are financial. There are valleys that are spiritual. There are valleys that are emotional. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's not an easy time to keep your chin up. But we better look up. The King is coming. We better be looking for Him. We better be living for Him. We better be loving on Him when He comes. Amen. There are valleys. Job said, man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He said, well, preacher, what did Jesus say? He said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Thank God we're supposed to be overcomers. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God is wanting to grant victory, even in the valley. I'll come back when I close the message out and talk about some future valleys that I believe will be a great blessing to you. But right now I'd like to look at the subject, victory in the valley. What do you see in the text, Pastor? Well, let me just say this first. Dwight D. Eisenhower said this, there are no victories at discount prices. Can I tell you what the modern Christian wants? Victory at discount prices. I don't know about you, but I like discount prices. I went into Food Lion a little while back on a Saturday, and I never heard of Hot Buys. But I went in there, I could not believe my eyes. They had a big old thing, round thing, right when you went in the door, and it had Cheerios in it, my favorite kind. We call them things, honey nut Cheerios. And I thought, boy, that'd be good. You know what? 99 cents a box. When's the last time you bought cereal for 99 cents a box? My daddy described cereal this way. Mom would say, honey, you want a bowl of cereal? He said, no, that's and there's nothing I ever put in my mouth. It lasts about that long. Say amen. But it was discounted. And then, so I grabbed three boxes. There was no limit on it. If I had it to do over again, I would have grabbed 10 boxes. There was no limit. Then on the same table, they had Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I said, that'd be a good bedtime snack. Satisfy that sweet tooth. So I got a box or two of them. I sent Miss Eve back that evening. She was going back to Food Lion. I said, get some more of that cereal. See, when I got home, I didn't have sense enough to read the expiration date when I was there. But it didn't expire till next year. That stuff would have been good for a whole year. I said, get us some more of that. She come back in and said, I got one box. I said, why? She said, that's all that's left. Well, we want victory. But we want it at discount prices. We want revival. But we want it at discount prices. We don't want to pay the price for victory in the valley. We don't want to pay the price for revival in these days. Dwight Eisenhower said there are no victories at discount prices. There's four things I want to look at today. And I hope and pray that God will speak to our hearts that I see here in this text. Number one, I see God's great mercy. The word of God said about Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse number 30, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all them that were before him. I'm telling you, beloved, I'm reading to you about a man that does not deserve victory. And I believe we'd have more victories in our lives if we'd realize we don't deserve it. But God in His mercy comes into that valley where we are and gives us a victory. The Bible said in 1 Kings 16, 33, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Brother Don, it blows my mind that the God of heaven would want to grant victory to a man such as Ahab. But then we ought to say this. It ought to blow our mind, Brother Preston, that he would grant victory. to the likes of us. He's the God of the valley, just like He's the God of the hills. The McCamey sang a song years ago, and I loved the song. I can't remember all the words to it, but the God on the mountain is still God. It ministered in the valley. It ministered to a lot of hearts, because there are many, many of God's children walking through valleys in these days. God's great mercy. Thank God for His mercy. But I want you to see God's great motive in the text. The Word of God said, even, listen, if I were God, and I had already had this contest with Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and I had already shown them that it was the God of heaven that answered by fire, and the God of heaven that licked up the sacrifice and licked up the water, that the prophets of Baal, they couldn't do anything. They were powerless. They were weak. And beloved, they didn't know the God of heaven. If I were God, and I'd already shown through the prophet of Elijah and through the consuming of the sacrifice, I'd say, that's enough. If that don't win them, forget it. But God still has a motive, even in this valley. You say, Pastor, what is that motive? 1 Kings 20, verse 13, and behold, there came a prophet of Ahab, the king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it in thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. God wants His people to know that He is the Lord, whether it's on the mountain or whether it's in the valley. In 1 Kings 20, verse 28, and there came a man of God and spake to the king of Syria, the king of Israel, and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude in thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Let me tell you, the greatest opportunity that God's people will ever have to witness will not be on the mountain, but it will be in the valley. When we are walking through that valley, and folk know that the waves of trouble are over our head, it's how we respond in those days that people will never forget. God has a motive. He wants the world to know. He wants us to know that He is the Lord. The third thing I'll give you this morning is this: God's great method. You say, Pastor, what do you mean here? Here's what I mean. God uses the valley in our lives. You know, a couple of things that the Lord spoke to my heart about. Number one, we need to recognize His providence in the valley. There are no accidents with God. Even when I read about our dear brother Davis and what happened to him last year at Thanksgiving, beloved, listen, he is in the hands of an almighty God, just like this pastor is in the hands of an almighty God, just like you that know Christ as Savior, you're in the hands of an almighty God. And when God brings us to that valley, He's not saying, whoops. His hand of providence. I don't know why. Brother Jim's mommy celebrated 100 years yesterday. 100 years. What a blessing. Say amen. 100 years. I don't know why some people live to be 100 and some don't make it to 10. I don't know why. I don't know what that answer is. But I do know this. I learned it in the book of Genesis. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God has never one time made a mistake. And when he brings us to a valley in our life, he has a purpose in that valley. If we're going to have victory in that valley, we're going to have to recognize his providence in the valley. The songwriter said, this valley is for me. As I look down this mountainside, I can see where this road goes. The shepherd is leading me to a place where I can grow. Though it seems to be a trying test, I have no doubt he knows what's best. It's just, it might be a place of perfect rest. This valley is for me. If we'd be honest this morning, we would rather go around the valleys. Somebody help me. But I tell you where we learn more than we'll ever learn in our lives is going through the valleys. You say, Pastor, you believe that the providential hand of God is at work in the life of the child of God? I know it is. You say, well, something bad has happened. I'll tell you this, it didn't happen without passing across his desk. Read the first chapter of the book of Job. May God help us to recognize his providence in the valley. But then secondly, may God help us, we look at the method of God using the valley to realize his presence in the valley. I'm going to tell you something. How many's ever been through a valley? Can I tell you this? You didn't go through it alone. If you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I promise you this, Brother Grizzle, we could talk to Brother Allen today, and he'd say, I've been closer, I felt closer than I've ever felt in my life, because, beloved, we understand how frail that this human body is, how much we need him, and even more so in the valley. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you until you get in a deep, dark valley. No, no, no. He said, lo, I'm with you always. He said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. May God help us to recognize his providence and to realize his presence in the valley. But then the last thing, and I'll move on to the last thing in the message. May God help us to receive his provision in the valley. God has something for us. Can I say this? You say, Pastor, what's God ever provided for you in the valley? Well, the first word that comes to my mind is peace. They used to sing a song. Mama had it on one of them albums. I think it was the Chuck Wagon Gang. Some of you all never heard of them. Amen. You've heard of them, ain't you, Brother Don? Mama had an album, and it had a song on it. There will be peace in the valley for me. That song was looking someday. Talking about crossing over the river. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God gives peace in the valley. Even right down here. I've seen it too many times. God's great method. Romans said, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let me tell you what the enemy will try to convince you of in the valley. That God is no longer for you. He's a liar. And the father of a lie. If he loved you, the old enemy will say, you wouldn't be in this valley. I'd like to look at him and say, if you knew him, you'd shut up. Amen. You say, Pastor, it ain't nice to say shut up. I believe it's okay to the devil. Shut up! Shut your trap! Get in the Word of God! Listen to what it said. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely with him give us all things? The Bible said in the book of Peter, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Beloved, God will provide even in the valley. Victory in the valley, we see God's great mercy and God's great motive, God's great method. But I want to give you this. There's something we need to see right here. This is how the message was birthed in my heart. We need to see God, not God's great mercy and God's great motive and God's great method, but we need to see man's great mistake. You say, Pastor, what was man's great mistake? What was Ben-Hadad? What was the people of Seir? What was their great mistake? Their great mistake was thinking that the God of the hills was not the God of the valleys. Can I tell you? Everywhere, God is still the same. Yesterday, and today, and forever. Every day, God is still the same. Yesterday, and today, and forever. It reminds me of a little joke I heard years ago. They'd given an interview to this fellow for a job, and he said, what 2 days of the week begin with the letter T? He said, today and tomorrow. It don't matter what day of the week it is. Our Father is still the same. He doesn't change. I believe sometimes, Sister Donna, he seems sweeter in the valley. He's really not sweeter, but he seems sweeter in the valley. Sometimes because we sense him. We sense his presence better. Somebody help me. In the valley. This valley is for me. The word of God said here in the service of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are God of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain. And surely we shall be stronger than they. Wrong. 1 Kings 20:28. There came the man of God. The man of God wasn't talking about them little G-O-D-S's. He was talking about the G-O-D, capital G, of heaven. The man of God, he spake to the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, thus saith Jehovah. Because the Syrians have said, the Lord is the God of the hills. He is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. I talked about past valleys a while ago and present valleys a while ago. And I want to close with this. Some future valleys. David said in Psalm 23 and verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I love this, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy. Brother Mays Jackson said, I got two angels follow me everywhere I go. One of them's name's goodness. Other one's name's mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're all going to face that valley one day. Aren't you glad we don't have to face it alone? Aren't you glad he'll be with us? Listen to what Jesus said. He's actually quoting Isaiah. Isaiah said, every valley shall be exalted, Every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Jesus said in Luke 3:5, every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. I just want to tell you this. I'm going to a city, a holy white city. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But the valleys as we know them today, we'll never have another one in our life. The songwriter said it like this, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. Victory in the valley. When I think about Ahab and Jezebel, I would just have a hard time, Brother Michael, granting Ahab victory anywhere, let alone in this valley. But God is trying to tell us today, He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's God of love. He wants you to know that He is the Lord. He wants the world to know. They're watching us in these valleys. Brother Ralph, when you and your precious wife, you had eyes everywhere watching you. I could call name after name after name in this church. Children are watching you. Teenagers are watching you. They want to know if your God is real in the valley. I'm so glad He's just as real in the valley. He's just as real as He is on the mountain. Amen. Brother Ralph, you'll get us a song.